Not only what, but how. That's our focus tonight. We're nearing the completion of the key list at the end of the Ramchal's Hakadamah to Maseil Sisharim. The key list that he draws from the Pesukim Parshas Ekev, what are the basic elements of Avodas Hashem? Mo Hashem Lekecha Dorish Meimach. We're going to study, Shalom Aleichem, welcome in. We're going to study Avodas Hashem. So this was the first task, and it's almost complete, is let's define what Avodas Hashem consists of. What are the elements of Avodas Hashem? And we're about to come to number four, and what's unique about number four is that it's not actually a mitzvah. The first three, Yira Halicha Bedrachav, and Avas Hashem, awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, caring about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, developing an emotional connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, those are all Chovos HaLevavos, which are themselves mitzvahs. And on the list of Tariq mitzvahs is the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, there's a mitzvah of Halicha Bedrachav. Will come soon in Mirtz Hashem to element number five is Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos, all the mitzvahs. What we're up to right now is the only of one of the elements which is not in and of itself a mitzvah. It's not a what, it's a how. It's not itself a mitzvah, but it's an adverb. How do we perform mitzvahs? Shleimus Halev, the Ramchal calls it. Wholeheartedness. The language of the pasuk is La'avdu b'chol vavchol nafshachem. To worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a full heart. So that's not a particular mitzvah, but it's a way in which we do all of the mitzvahs. So what does that mean? What is Shleimus Halev? The Ramchal writes as follows. What does it mean to do a mitzvah with a whole heart as opposed to do a mitzvah with partial heart, without b'chol levavchem? So he seems to say that there are three elements. And as an aside, we're about to see how he explains Shleimus Halev, Avodah B'Chalev. But I'll tell you that I discovered not long ago that Ramchal, Kedarko, he explains, he doesn't quote Rishonim explicitly. But I believe that here he's actually quoting Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So let's take a look and see what the Ramchal says, and then maybe we'll put it in the context of the Ramban and the Rambam as well. Shleimus Halev, who at the end of the Hakdama, Shetiyah Havodah Lefanav Yisbarach B'Torah Kavanah. To do a mitzvah wholeheartedly means that the mitzvah is being done with purity of intent. I'm not just doing the right thing, but I'm intending in the right direction. What does that mean? Pure intent. Dahainu L'Sachlis Avodaso Bilvad V'lo L'Shom Pni Acheres. It means that my purpose is because I'm doing this because I want to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm doing this because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. I'm doing this because I work for Him and not for any ulterior motive. And again, to stress, when he says that one of the basic elements of Avodas Hashem is essentially acting l'shma as opposed to shelo l'shma, I want to re-stress again the caveat from last week, which is, these are the long-term expectations. This is what I'm trying to grow towards over the course of a lifetime, that I should grow into being Ovid Lashma. It does not mean that mitzvahs that I do now, if it's Shlo Lashma, it's worthless. These are the long-term goals. As a matter of fact, Gemara highlights that a person should La'olam Yasek Adam V'Tar Mitzvah Fiyah Shlo Lashma. The Jew should always be involved in learning Torah and living Torah, even if it's Shlo Lashma. Out of acting properly, but for ulterior motives, will ultimately develop acting properly for proper motives. So there's no expectation. I'm not going to beat myself up, and knock myself down because look, I looked in the mirror. I'm acting shalosh ma. Of course, you're acting shalosh ma. The Rabbi Shechter likes to quote from Rabbi Chaim Volozhin that. Opening word of that phrase of Chazal, La'olam, I should always be Osek Shelo Lashma, because there's almost invariably, there will always be an element of Shelo Lashma. It's a rare human being who's able to reach the Madrega that I'm Kulo Lashma. The goal is for the vast majority of us means that over the course of weeks and months and years, I can move the needle so that the percentage will change. And maybe I'm going to start 100% Shalosh Shema. It's 95.5. Then over time, it'll be 90% Shalosh Shema, but there'll be a 10% Lishma. And then maybe another couple of years, it'll be 20% Lishma and a 30% Lishma. Over time, I can move the needle so there'll be more and more Lishma. I may never get to the point of 100% Lishma. La'olam, there's a Shalosh Lishma at play, but over time, the mix, the ratio of Shalosh Lishma to Lishma is going to change. That's what he says. One of the great goals, one of the great long-term goals, one of the core elements of Avos Hashem is that what I'm doing for Him. I'm not just doing the right thing, but I have a clarity of purpose. There's one more qualification when we speak about Shalosh Lishma, and then we'll move on to see the other two dimensions of being wholehearted, the other two dimensions of Shleimus Aleiv. But in terms of this first definition that has to do with Lishma versus Shalosh Lishma, is worth noting, Tosfos asks a stira. So we just said before, Gemara says, La'olam yasagat in terms of fear Shalosh Lishma. Shalosh Lishma is a wonderful thing, and it'll lead me towards acting Lishma. The Tosfos points out, a stira, elsewhere the Gemara says, that a person who acts Shalosh Lishma is terrible. Mutav lo ilu nefcha shel yaso apanav. That's a very, very incredibly harsh language. So the fellow who's doing mitzvah Shalosh Lishma, would have been better that he would have never been born alive. That he would not have been a viable birth. It would have been better not to have lived than to have lived a Shalosh Lishma life. So Tosfos says, whoa, it's quite a stira. One place you tell me, Shalosh Lishma, that's great. It's not ideal, but it's good. Another place tell me, it's mamish, it's horrific. Acting Shalosh Lishma is worse than not acting at all. So which one is it? The different terutzim, Tosfos's solution is it depends what the content of my Shalosh Lishma is. If the content of my Shalosh Lishma is a benign or is it malignant? Tosfos says that the standard positive Shalosh Lishma, that La'olim Yasagat in Torah Mitzvah Filo Shalosh Lishma, is where it's a garden variety Shalosh Lishma. I'm doing mitzvahs because I want covet. I'm doing mitzvahs because I want money. I'm doing mitzvahs because I want the prize, whatever the prize may be. The Rambam describes in the Hakadamah Techelek, he says, you know, a little kid, he's not so interested in learning. You tell him, I'll give you candy if you learn. Good. So he has a candy. Rambam has different types of candy. 800-900 years ago, the candy was not quite as sophisticated. I'll give you some parched wheat. I'll give you some nuts. Tastes have changed just a little bit. But the concept's the same. And then the Rambam says, the kid gets a little older, the candy no longer appeals to him. If you give him shoes? I'm not sure. Air Jordans? Oh. Give him shoes. Ah, the shoes are very exciting. And then the kid gets a little older, the shoes aren't really so exciting either, but money, fame, covet, social, you know. Rambam said, look, at every stage, there are things that draw us in. So those, Rambam even says, based on the Sifrei, based on Midrash HaLacha, a person gets to Madrega where the Shalosh Lishma is, do mitzvahs that you'll go to Olam Haba. Halavai, we should be Zeicha. That our I would love to have that Shalosh Lishma. That my primary motivator is, Shalosh Lishma, I'm doing not just because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, because I really want Olam Haba. Halavai. That's a pretty sublime Madrega of Shalosh Lishma. So all of those, whether it's a sublime, holy, I want Olam Haba, or it's a more of an earthly, but right there, you want money, you want candy, you want the psychic rewards, the social benefits. So it says those are all positive Shalosh Lishma. It's better, you don't want to stay there forever. The Rambam stresses that also. The goal is to grow beyond that. The Rambam says, Rambam expresses it very beautifully. He says, the child who learns for candy, it means that he values candy more than learning. He's a little kid. He doesn't appreciate the inherent value of learning, but he enjoys candy. He says the Rebbe is more mature. So the Rebbe understands the value of learning, but he needs to convey that to the child. The kid doesn't get it yet. So he says, meanwhile, I'll give you a candy. So
at one point, the Rebbe was actually the child.
Right. The Rebbe, he was there too. As a matter of fact.
The Torah doesn't always start from the top down. The Torah
sometimes. Yes, absolutely. And as we were saying before, Rechai from Rulajan would say, the Rebbe also still has a Shalol Shema. Hey, Rebbe is more advanced than the Talmud, but it doesn't mean that the Rebbe, a few people make it to 100%. But over time, the Rebbe has grown, and now he's taking the Talmud by the hand. You watch the Talmud slowly. At first, even candy seems better than learning. And then he gets to the point and realizes that learning is better than candy. But the shoes still seem better than learning. And then, slowly, until hopefully you grow into recognizing the actual value of the learning itself, and not just as a means to whatever the toys of that age bracket are. Tosa says that when the Gemara says that Shalol Shema is terribly negative, horrific, better not to have done at all, Tosa says that's when it's a malignant type of Shalol Shema, where the Shalol Shema is, I'm going to learn so that I can show other people up. I'm going to learn so that I can use my learning to cut other people down to something. I'm going to put other people down with my learning. If it's lakanter, chas v'shalom, that's taka terrible. That's not a benign Shalol Shema. That's a destructive Shalol Shema that corrodes the whole value of the learning. It would have been better not to have learned than to have learned in order to use as a tool to cut other people down. But Tosa says the vast majority of the time, a benign garden variety Shalol Shema gvaldik. It's a good. So learn Shalol Shema. But again, the goal, mitol Shalol Shema bal Shema. So that's aspect number one of Shleimus Halev, the adverb, the doing mitzvahs with whole heart, with whole soul, b'chol v'avcha chomavshecha, is number one, what's my motivation? What's my purpose? Aleph. Then he says, "Nechlal b'zeh." But this, in addition to acting l'shma, "Nechlal b'zeh." This also includes two other things. "Sheyelibo shalem ba'avoda." My heart is all in, as opposed to what? As opposed to posech al shtei hasi'ipim, as opposed to hopping between the two, literally hopping between the two doorsteps. That term is borrowed from Sefer Melachim. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, one of the most dramatic scenes in all of, perhaps in all of Neviim Rishonim. So one of the most dramatic scenes in all of Sefer Melachim, the showdown. It's in the period of King Achav. All of the Malchi Yisrael, just about all the Malchi Yisrael were Rishonim. But Achav was, even among Rishonim, he stood out. He was a Rasha among Rishonim. He was actively, deliberately a true believer in Avodah Zarah. He wasn't just cynically using Avodah Zarah as an opiate of the masses to control the people. He was actually a believer in Baal and very, very actively, aggressively missionizing for Baal and massacring Nevi Hashem. And Klal Yisrael suffered spiritually, and then Klal Yisrael suffered physically. There's no rain for years. And finally, Eliyahu suggests a showdown. He says, I'll go up to Har HaKarmel. You'll bring hundreds of Nevi'im of your Avodah Zarah, of Baal, up to Har HaKarmel, and we'll experiment. I'll make a Mizbech, you'll make a Mizbech, and we'll see who can bring down fire from Shamayim. So, and programmatically, Eliyahu says, you go first. You're hundreds of you and just one of me. Of course, Atem Aravim. Of course, you go first, which programmatically makes a lot of sense. And he gives them all morning into the afternoon, and they're doing their thing, and they're mutilating, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're jumping, and they're meditating. And obviously, nothing happens because Baal doesn't exist. And the Gemara says that's actually the source, the fact that we'll speak in a couple of prakim here, Tzashem, about the dangers of the costs of cynicism. The Gemara says, the one time you're allowed to be sarcastic and cynical, Leitzanus is Aser, except Leitzanus Avodah Zarah. And the source is Eliyahu, because he starts taunting them. He says, oh, yeah. Because they're screaming, full voice, hundreds of them. He said, I don't know if he can hear you. No, maybe he's in the bathroom, so you got to yell a little louder. And he's going on, he's yanking their chain. And then finally, he gives them all morning into the afternoon. He says, okay, Chevra, you had your 8-9 hours, now it's my turn. And it's just one, Eliyahu, and he rebuilds it. The Mizbech that hundreds of years before had been built, before the days of Beis HaMikdash, had been in Bama, Laman, Hashem, and Har Carmel, rebuilds it. It's a very obvious nes. Everything is doused with water, is drenched with water, and he puts a carbon on his back, and he davens a Kadosh Baruch Hu, sends down a fire, and burns the carbon, scorches everything, a clear nes nigla. A Kadosh Baruch Hu came knocking, and people are suitably impressed. The audience is there, like, wow. And then Eliyahu seizes the moment. Because all of this was an opportunity to get their attention. He says, Chevra, who are you? What are you? Where are you going? What's the deal? He says, Im Lashem, Lashem, Im Labal, Labal. Apparently, a lot of the Jews are sort of syncretists. And syncretism means like a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion. Like, you know, Lahavdil, but not really, you know. Synagogue on Saturday and church, Lahavdil, Alfi Avdalos on Sunday. They were sort of worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. They were also doing Baal. Rachman al-Tzlan, like Buddha Jews. And a little Judaism, a little Buddhism. Rachman al-Tzlan. That's what they were doing. They're doing some of Os Hashem and some Baal. He says, Chevra, what are you doing? Make up your minds. What are you trying to do? You try to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or Lahavdil, you try to worship Baal. And Masaya Tempos Chimal Shnei Asi'ipim. Eliyahu says, for how much longer do you think you can hop between the two doorsteps? There's door number one and door number two. You're trying to figure out which one am I walking into. Like, for those who appreciate O. Henry, like the end of The Lady and the Tiger. Probably one of the most famous O. Henry short stories. He has that at the end, he has to decide door number one, door number two. Right? Behind one is a marvelous ending. Behind the other one is a quick and brutal ending. Which door should I choose? He says to the Jewish people, you're Chevra, Lashem, Babal. Don't just stand there and be indecisive. Decide what you're going to do and do it. Now, what does Ramchal mean here? He's clearly quoting that. He's using that phrase. He doesn't necessarily mean something as severe, as drastic as Eliyahu. Was mamish, are you an Ovid Hashem or are you an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? But he's using that phrase deliberately to capture that while the image on Har HaKarmel was very severe and very extreme, but there's a little bit of that in lighter ways in all of us. All of us have our aspect of being posech hashtei se'ipim. Not that we're not sure whether we should go to come to Beis Medrash or Rachman Tzlan bow down to an idol, but we all have our moments of, you know, indecision. Should I do the right thing? Should I do the wrong thing? Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And again, as I said before, I said last week, saying that's not Shleimus HaLev doesn't mean it's zero. He's not saying that being inconsistent in your mitzvahs means your mitzvahs are a zero. Chas v'shalom. If one day I do the right thing, and the next day I do the wrong thing, and the next day I do the right thing, and the next day I do the wrong thing, it probably means I'm a human being. I think that's the diagnosis. And it means I have Yetzirah, which is good. That means I'm a living human being. And it means I'm not yet a perfected person. So sometimes I succeed and sometimes I fail. Sometimes I want and sometimes I don't want. Those are valuable, intensely valuable mitzvahs. At the same time, the long-term goal is to be consistent. The long-term goal, I'm not yet. Every mitzvah that I did, even if I have on days and off days, every single mitzvah, every bit of self-control is of immense value. Untold value to Rabbeinu Shlomo. At the same time, I don't yet have that aspect of Shleimus HaLev. I don't yet have that aspect of consistency. Shleimus HaLev, he said, number one means motivation, Lishma. Number two, that I'm all in, that I'm with full conviction and full consistency, with the strength in my convictions. This is another aspect of this adverb, the Shleimus HaLev, how am I doing the mitzvahs? And finally, he says, to be wholehearted, in addition to being purely motivated and to acting with consistent conviction, aspect number three is not to be osim mitzvahs anashim melumada, not just be acting out of rote. Sometimes I do the right thing consistently, but it's just minasafe velachotz. I'm on autopilot. If I take three steps back from Shmona Esrei at Shacharis, and I realize I don't really remember walking into shul, like my tefillin are on, so I must have put them, I don't really remember putting them on. Right? So Baruch Hashem, the, you know, my my mind's adaptability is strong and healthy, and I'm able to do a lot of things without having to think about them. But at the same time, there's a time and place for everything. It's good they're able to operate on autopilot, but it's a problem if I'm doing invaluable things on autopilot, the sort of things that ought to be done with my mind in drive instead of my mind in neutral. Is a mitzvah done out of rote valueless? Chas v'shalom. Absolutely, it's valuable. And does it mean I'm a terrible person because I did the mitzvahs out of rote? Absolutely not. Yerushalmi says, one of the Amoraim said, we ought to have hakaras hatov to our spines because they make sure to bow for modim. I think, what's his name? Chanoch Teller, in one of his earlier books, he tells this, he has this sketch. This fellow's in Machne Yehuda is looking around at all the delicious fruits, and he's looking at the grapefruit and this and that, and suddenly he gets punched in the chest. He's looking at, who punched me? There's no one nearby. Who punched me? That's really weird. What? Strange. Okay, moves on. Goes to another part of Machne Yehuda, he's looking at the candles, looking at the vegetables, this, that. Again, a punch in the chest. Like, who? There's no one around. He's looking around. Who punched me? And then he realizes he's not really Machne Yehuda. He's really in shul. Again, he was just, you know, his mouth was working on autopilot, and his hands were working on autopilot, and his brain, he was daydreaming that he was in Machne Yehuda. That's what Yerushalmi says. When the holy Amoraim said he has Hakar Satov, that the times when he's Davish Maestra and he's not all in, not fully focused, his spine still remembers to automatically bow at Moses. This is an ancient problem. It's an ancient problem. So are my mitzvahs valueless because it's mitzvah nashim lumad? Because it's rote? Absolutely not valueless. Absolutely valuable. But there's still something missing. I did mitzvahs, but not b'chol lev v'chol nefesh. Not wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, this adverb, how, as I said before, as opposed to what, doing the mitzvahs with proper motive, ideal motivation, pure motivation, doing the mitzvahs with full consistency and conviction, and doing the mitzvahs not only physically properly, but with my mind in drive as well. Not mitzvahs anashim milumadam. So those are... Yeah?
Quick question if it's possible. The first one, Torah HaKavona, if a person has Yira Shomayim, has Yira and Ava, doesn't that cover that? In other words, the two things we said before, Yira and Ava...
I think you're making a good point that, as we already seen, there is a certain sequencing here. And as you said, Yira, element number one, is necessary in order to have Halicha B'drachav and Av. I have to have awareness of HaKadosh. HaKadosh has to be a reality in my life before I can talk about emulating him, taking him as a model, before I can talk about having an emotional relationship with him. So I think you're right also that Yira and Ava will feed into Avod B'chalev, but it's not automatically the same. In other words, I can love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still learn Torah because I want the prize. Avod B'chalev means that the year and Ava have fully taken over my life. So, okay, so that's already the next Madrega. And then finally, Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos, as we spoke about, as Ramchal explains more in the manuscript version, this means the first four were the Chovos HaLevavos, the inner requirements, and Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos means HaKadosh Baruch Hu also expects, absolutely, we're not only going to feel Jewish and think Jewish and want Jewish, we're also going to do Jewish, we're also going to keep all the Chovos HaEvarim. Then the Ramchal says, okay, so these are the elements of Os Hashem. Klolim, he says, Kol Eila Klolim, Tzrichim Perish Gadol. This is very nice. Now I know what my finish line looks like. But how do I get there? He says, this is theory, but we need Pirush Gadol. We need to explain, because this sefer is meant to be a practical handbook, not just a theoretical treatise on Avos Hashem. This is meant to be a practical a manual, a how-to guide. So he says, I'm not going to arrange my sefer using these five elements. I'm going to arrange my sefer using the sequence, the progressional, step-by-step, Chazal, he says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and Pinchas Ben Yair organized the same material in a different dimension, in the step by step. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Torah brings to Zahirus, Zahirus brings to Zrizus, Zrizus brings to Nikias. Step by step, he says, that's how I'm going to organize my Sefer. And he says, I'm going to, for each step, I'm going to define what Nikias, that doesn't mean good hygiene, what does it mean to be clean? it's important to take showers. Marsha actually says on that Gemara, Nikias there means practicing good hygiene, bathing on a regular basis. An important aspect of Avodas Hashem. Ramchal disagrees. It is important to have good hygiene, but that's not what Nikias means in that context. Ramchal will go step by step. You look at the table of contents, starting with Perek Beis, and go step by step by step. Each midah, what does Zahiris mean? And then let's define it in detail. Let's unpack what all the parts of it are. And then let's talk about how do you get it? And then what are the pitfalls I need to avoid? And then go through Zahiris and go through Jesus in a methodical way, step by step by step, figuring out what step one is and how do I actually get there and how to make sure to make it stick. Step two, step three is going to take us on this ladder. Sulam Mutzav Arts of Rosh Magia Shemaim, starting from the ground level, building all the way. Perek Chavav is the Kedusha Ruach HaKodesh Tchias HaMesim. Halavai we should get there in our learning, halavai we should reach anywhere near there in our Avoda. Of course, I leave you with a hanging question, which is, I said, he's ready to go step by step. And he starts the first step, Zahiros, with Perek Beis. So we'll see next time, perhaps, Perek Aleph. Is a little bit more has to happen before he can actually start step one. And Perek Aleph is going to be about the big questions of life. So next time we learn Mesilas Yesharim together, we will open up Perek Aleph and we'll begin to enjoy a real treat.